Friday morning, as I was driving up to the outreach, usually is my stop for a while before I head on to the hospital for Mass. And when I approached the outreach, I had a very sad feeling because I saw a long line in front of the outreach. And I know we're not used to seeing the long lines, and especially even when we were serving indoors, maybe one or two people would be waiting outside until we had a spare space or whatever. But the lines keep getting longer and longer because we're in more and more of kind of a difficult and tight situation for everyone. And while we seem to be keeping up, it just made me sad to see the line getting longer and longer and longer, because what it means is more and more people are feeling the pinch and are needing to be fed. And I thought about all the lines that I've seen in pictures throughout history of the times during the Great Depression, where food lines and bread lines and soup lines would stretch around for blocks because that was the only place where people could go for food. And I hope and pray that we're not heading there again. But if that's what God needs of us, that is what we will do. But we are, it just made me sad because I just saw that long line, and I hope and pray that it's not going to continue to grow and grow and grow. It reminded me very much of a picture that I've seen by Fritz Eichenberger. It's kind of an almost famous now ink drawing. And it was given by Fritz evidently to the Catholic worker movement. And it has appeared in many of their publications and in their artwork. And it's called Christ, the Christ of the Breadline. And in the picture are all these poor folks. Obviously, it's wintertime. They're all bundled up. And in the middle of the line stands the Lord Jesus. And again, you know it's the Lord Jesus. It just, you know, it just kind of strikes you that there he is in the middle of the bread line, waiting to be fed along with everyone else who is hungry. As we celebrate this feast of Christ the King, we've got to understand that that is a picture more of our King, probably even more so than the window there where we see Christ enthroned in heavenly splendor. That is the King who identifies with the poor. That is the King who left heaven and came to earth and lived as a human being. In that context, we think about what God expected of his kings. Really, in history, we've got to go back a little further than that, because when we first were called as God's people and we were that loose association of those 12 tribes, in that federation, we didn't have a king. And every once in a while, we'd look at all the other surrounding nations and things like that and say, oh, we need a king. And God would say to us, you don't need a king. You have me. You have me. And we'd look back at God and we'd say, thank you very much. We still want a king. And things would go on for a little while longer. And again, we'd want to be like the other bigger nations and the more powerful nations. And we wanted to be more like them and act like them. And we'd say to God, we need a king. And God would say, you don't need a king, you have me. And again, we wanted a king. And so God relented, and we got a king. But what happens with every single human king? They fail you from time to time. That's why our ancestors found themselves in captivity, that we hear from Ezekiel, okay, that first reading, wherein, first of all, God's kingly shepherd failed the kingdom, and our ancestors rolled over and taken into captivity. And then the foreign kings were not much better. It's funny, when you trade out one king, one human king for another, you still wind up disappointed, at least scripturally. Okay? And in the middle of all that, God says, Have no fear, my people. Once again, when this is over, I will shepherd you this time. I'm not going to leave it to any other human king again. I'll be the one to shepherd you in the way that you deserve to be shepherded. That's what God says to the people. One of the things that we need to remember about, even when we had a king, there were three groups of people that had always had access to the king. Always. They were the only three groups of people who had access to the king. Because they were the three groups of people that had no power. They were the three groups of the people that no one else listened to their cries when they cried out for help or for aid. But the king, who was supposed to be shepherding on God's behalf, was supposed to hear their cries and to deal with them because they had no power and they had no clout and they had nothing, no resources, no rights. And they were the widows and the orphans and the resident aliens. Those were the people that, because the structure of society was what it was, they had no one else to care for them. The widows, the orphans, and the resident aliens. They were the ones that when they cried out for help, only God would listen. And God's king was supposed to listen. You see, that's how much God identifies with the poor. Yes, he loves the rest of us too, but throughout Scripture you will see that God identifies with the poor. He chooses the poor first because he knows that they are completely reliant upon him. All the rest of us are too, but we have a tendency to forget that the more that we have and the more that things are going our way. He identifies with them so much that he becomes one of them. And so look at that parable in our gospel today. And remember again, Matthew is speaking to a Jewish community who is listening to him. And he's again putting the king there to judge all of creation at the end of time. And both groups cannot figure out how they did or they didn't take care of Jesus. Both groups couldn't figure it out. Lord, when did we see you there and do that for you? Or when did we see you and not do that for you? They can't see it. They're blinded. But the king says to them, every time you did or you did not do for one of my brothers and sisters, anytime you did or did not do for one of those least ones, you did or you did not do it for me. What is it that we really would like to hear? Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or away from me, you accursed ones, to the place prepared for the devil and all of his angels. If we want to hear the former, we had best learn to recognize Jesus in the poor. We had best learn to recognize Jesus in the stranger. We had best learn to recognize Jesus in the alien. You see, Christ still stands in our breadlines. We would do well to notice him.